Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I?
Right, babe. Not that man.
Back in town.
Look out, old Mac is back.
Yeah, I'm such a thing.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. How we doing on this Tuesday morning? 202 on The Fan. McMonagle here with you, 888-888-1019. I'm in a different chair. I'm a creature of habit like Garrett Cole. And because of some microphone issues, I don't know if you heard the beginning of Keith's show, but it had me laughing, unfortunately for him. But I'm in a different chair, so there's going to be some flubs because I'm uncomfortable. But we can move on from that. We got Rami on the other side taking your phone calls, 888-808-1019. And listen, the Yankees lost the baseball game, so we know what it is. It's Panic City. They're going to lose. They're not going to even get back from Kansas City. It's all over. Judge will never hit in the postseason. Carlos Rodon is the worst. It's all over. It's the same thing we've seen forever, and I can't take it anymore. Sums it up. I think that's about it. Anything else? Did I forget anything? Oh, yeah, Jazz Chisholm said bulletin board material in the postgame. Boone's an idiot, right, of course. Brian Cashman, all the guys playing out of position. I'm trying to think of all the stuff we can get to. And some of it, in fact, a lot of it, happens to be true. So let's just get to it here, because I tweeted something out that happened to be prophetic. It happened to be exactly the right situation. I tweeted out that we were going to find out in the first inning about this game, because two of the biggest question marks heading in, or two of the big factors, is clearly Aaron Judge, and we know it, and we're going to get into it in a second here at 888-808-1019. But Carlos Rodon to start this game. And I got to tell you, I know I look like a fool now, but in that moment, it's hard to now look back and feel the same way about it, but it's also hard to look back and kill Carlos Rodon for the way he peacocked it and the way he was so exuberant on the mound. I know many will. But I don't care. In the moment, I freaking loved it. It got me amped up. I think it got the crowd amped up. And now looking back on it, I hate that it happened because it ruined a moment for me that I thought was freaking awesome. And I thought for a brief moment, and yes, maybe I'm a fool, and I'm sure many of you will call me up and tell me I am. For a brief moment, I thought that Carlos Rodon was going to put all the nonsense aside. And Carlos Rodon, who came out throwing 99 miles an hour, dotting his spots on the inside corner, outside corner, first pitch, you know, slider, just dotting the outside corner for strikes. He looked freaking fantastic to start this game. I don't know if I can remember another game in the postseason where the starting pitcher came out looking as good as Carlos Rodon did to only have it fall apart in the fourth inning. And that's what's so frustrating about this guy. And we talked about it. And I know we're going to get to the offense, but Carlos Rodon is so frustrating in this game, not because he didn't give the Yankees a chance to win, because he did. The Yankees did have a chance to win this game. And the offense is the bigger story. But Carlos Rodon, in that first inning, and when he walks off the mound after striking out Bobby Witt Jr., who, by the way, he doesn't have a hit yet, and he looks at his infield and says, "Let's go, boys. I was ready to run through a wall. I was pumped up. And I think the whole building was. And I think the entire team was. And before we get to the fourth inning with Carlos Rodon, I'm going to talk about, in my mind, the biggest moment of this game. Because off of that first inning, off of Carlos Rodon's performance in that first inning, not just the peacocking, but what he did and how he carved up the first three hitters of that Kansas City Royals offense. When you go to the bottom of the first inning and you get a walk, which has been the calling card of this offense so far, about the only thing they've done so far in these two games. You get a walk from Torres, you get a walk from Soto, and for the second night in a row, Aaron Judge is at the plate with two on and nobody out and an opportunity to blow this game open. And that strikeout in the first inning completely changed the game. It completely changed the game for me. There was a moment right there to break that game open against their best pitcher. Reagans is their best pitcher. He's been their best pitcher all year. He's going to finish second or third in the Cy Young Award voting. He's their guy, right? They didn't have their guy game one. Michael Wacha, they pulled him after in the fourth inning, which I thought was early. But that Michael Wacha's not their guy. This is their guy. Even Seth Lugo, who they're going to see in game three, is not their guy. This is their guy. This was the game they had to win. This is the game they needed their pitcher to show up for them. This is the game. And Carlos Rodon, who's a question mark for the Yankees, is an absolute hot knife through butter in the top of the first. And the best player on the planet, the best hitter in the world, the best player on the New York Yankees that has Juan Soto on it, is up with an opportunity to blow this game open, and instead, he deflates the team, he deflates the building. There is no way of getting around it, because I'm sure I'm going to spend a lot of time over the course of this show taking ridiculous calls about how awful Judge is and how he needs to be benched, or he'll always be like this, and he'll never get a big hit, and he's Mr. Regular Season, and who cares what you do in the regular season, and I'll have to defend him from all you crazies. But that doesn't change the fact that in this game, despite getting on base two times out of four at-bats, or four plate appearances in this game, he had an opportunity to change the narrative immediately. And he failed. And he failed his team. And immediately, this game felt like, here we go. It's going to be another knock-em-out, drag-em-out, try and get base hits, try and come through, wringing our hands, nervous energy throughout the whole team. He had an opportunity to uplift this whole team. Who needs it? Because as you watch this game, if you want to call me up and tell me this team was lifeless, you want to call me up and tell me this team has no fight, you want to call me up and tell me this offense is dead, I'm going to argue with you. Because I disagree. I thought I saw a lot of good at-bats. I saw Reagans in this game get pulled after four because of his pitch count, because of his lack of, you know, effectiveness. I know he only gives up the one run, but this offense got people on base. This offense came through with big at-bats. This offense hit the ball hard into some bad luck. It's not the story of the game. The story of the game is the ineptitude of runners in scoring position. It continues to be. And I understand the frustration after time and time and time again going back to previous seasons. I get it. I don't think this team was lifeless. I don't think this team was dead. This team, for whatever reason, is extremely tight with runners in scoring position. And we've seen it over and over again. And Judge, in my mind, had an opportunity to change all of that and flip the script and break this game open. And I firmly believe he doesn't need to hit a three-run bomb. If Judge hits one in the alley, if Judge hits one down the line, if Judge gets a base hit, I feel like this game is completely different. And we talked about it, and it's true. Whether or not, you know, I've been saying it forever. The idea that, oh, there's only two good hitters and you need it from up and down the lineup. Well, you're getting it in many ways from up and down the lineup. Verdugo is the star of game one. Gleyber Torres got on base how many times over the first game and a half here? He walks his first two at-bats this game, right? He's on base one, two with the home run three times in game one. You've got Gleyber Torres doing it. You got Verdugo doing it. You've got the other guys. Wells comes through with walks and base hits in the first game. It has been sprinkled, but they can't carry you. This team will only go as far as Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, but mainly Aaron Judge. Your stars have got to be stars. And that's why I said after game one, it was a positive victory. Because Cole, who needs to be one of their stars, was not their star. Judge and Soto, although Soto had some singles, didn't drive in any runs, but Judge was bad again, and they still won the game. You know why? Because they're not going to win games like that. They're not going to win games when the starting pitcher in Carlos Rodon craps the bed in the fourth inning. And despite the fact looking excellent to start the game, the second he gives up that home run, completely abandons his fastball, completely loses faith in himself, completely loses faith in his stuff, makes poor pitch decisions left and right, throwing hanging breaking balls. I mean, it was just embarrassing where he started and where he finished in that fourth inning. It's hard to fathom, but this is the up and down nature of Carlos Rodon. But you need your stars to be your stars, plain and simple. And Judge in that moment, and I don't care what he did the rest of the game, Judge in that moment alerted the rest of the team that we're in for it again, as opposed to coming through and breaking open. They look to him, he's their leader, he's their captain, and he is going to carry them or he is going to lead them into failure. Plain and simple. It's been like this, we know it's this, and the only difference is, compared to what I think and what you think, is I don't think we're doomed or the Yankees are doomed because he hasn't come through in the first two games. I don't think Aaron Judge is inept. I don't think he's going to be doomed for failure the rest of the series or the rest of this postseason. And maybe they can get through Kansas City without him. Maybe they can. But ultimately, we can complain about the lack of runners in scoring position and all that. It's going to come down to Judge and Soto in the middle of that lineup. And for the second night in a row, and they were able to overcome it in game one, but the second night in a row, Judge, with an opportunity to put a freaking stomp on this Kansas City Royals team and come out and touch up their guy in the first inning of game two and make a statement, he failed. And to me, that's the moment of this game. That's where this game was decided. And this offense continues to be inept in the big moment. Again, when you're 2-for-20, they have, with runners on, that's an awful number. And you look up and down this lineup, they can't string hits together. But ultimately, I do believe that this offense is putting themselves in a position to eventually break out. I mean, if you look at it, just be totally fair about it. You want to? I hate the idea that they don't get credit for walks. Not every one of these walks is just four pitches. Drawing walks is part of it. They've been long at bats. There's been a lot of foul balls. I'm not trying to praise them for walks, but we also speak as if they don't mean anything. A bases loaded walk is the same as is better than a sac fly, but it's almost like the fan base would rather see the sac fly. There's no credit for walks. The Yankees have earned those walks. The Yankees have earned the opportunity to be this bad with runners in scoring position. And if you look at last night's game, there's a ton of hard-hit balls right at people. It's not making excuses. It's not good enough. But they're in a position, and it just takes one. And I'm really hoping getting away from Yankee Stadium, going on the road, and kind of loosening up a bit, and they've played better. And I think there's a reason for it. They've played better on the road this year. And I do think whether it's the fan base and the vitriol, the understanding that, you know, in front of this building and in this building with this crowd going, that there's extra added pressure to come through. I'm hoping that going out on the road to Kansas City, that they can find a way to loosen up. Because you know what? It's funny because I think the fan base thinks that that Aaron Boone's too loosey-goosey, that there's not enough firm hand. There's not enough of a holding players accountable. And that might be right. That might be right. But right now, I don't believe it's that this team doesn't care. I don't believe it has anything to do with fundamentals. I don't think it has anything to do with not being scolded enough or yelled at enough or held accountable enough. It might be all too much of that. Because right now, they are tight as a drum in the big situation. And it's happened year in and year out. And it's hard to fathom. And ultimately, they're going to have to come through. But I still believe they're the better team. I still believe they're going to win this series, and I still believe Judge is going to have a dominant series, whether it's this one, whether it's in the ALCS, or whether it's lucky enough to be in the World Series. But to me, it's that first inning and what becomes of it. The promise of it, and then from that, I know they take the lead with the Stanton hit and get a 1-0 lead in this game, and then that's when Carlos Rodon fails immediately with Perez. But to me, the momentum completely changed off of that first at bat. Rodon and that momentum he built in the first inning goes completely flat when the captain, when the greatest player does it again in the first inning and they can't get those two runs home. To me, that's where the game was lost. Now, they had an opportunity. They knock out Reagans in the after the fourth round, after the fourth inning. They've got the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, and they do nothing offensively. They put together good at-bats. They hit the ball hard. You've got Birdie, who was great in this game. And the decisions of the manager, again, I think Aaron Boone's had a good series and had a good first two games. I think Birdie played his ass off in this game. He was their best defender for someone who's never played the position. And it created a lot of hand-wringing and concern. He was great at first base. Chisholm has an error. He saved Chisholm from having a runner at second base with a great diving stop. Same thing with Rodon on a ground ball off his hand, where he tries to pick it up and throw to first base late, which was a bad, ill-advised throw. He makes a great play on that. The obvious, the line drive, double play with runners at first and third and one out, kept the Yankees in the game. And then you look at his at-bats, he gets a single and a ninth, and he rips one to left early in the game. He rips one to right early in the game. You got Torres ripping a line drive to third base. You've got a 9 or 10 pitch at-bat from Volpe, and he rips one to right field. I don't think this team was lifeless. I think they can't string hits together, and in the big moments with runners on scoring position, they are tight as a drum, and it starts from the head and the captain in Aaron Judge. But I firmly believe that great players are great players, and he will break out of this. And the other thing is, like, we talk about it like he's never hit. It's as of late. It's this series, and it's the Houston Astros series, really, of last year. That's it. Like, the wild card game of 21, like, if you look back, he had an excellent ALCS in 17. He had an excellent series against Boston in 18. He's hit home runs in both wild card games, which, oh, the wild card games, those are game sevens. Those are win or die, win or go home games where Aaron Judge has hit a home run in both of them against the Oakland A's and against the Minnesota Twins. He's had moments in the postseason. It's not like he's never done it. He just hasn't done it recently, and it's not good enough. But moving forward, if they don't get it from him, they're not going to win. Plain and simple. And now you look forward to game three after I think you could put this game behind you. It is what it is. It's a one. The series is tied like every other series in the postseason right now. I think they've played, besides the Volpe era, and maybe an overthrow from Verdugo coming home instead of making sure he hits the cutoff man and keeps a runner at second base, I think for the most part they've played pretty well defensively. The bullpen's been excellent. And even if you want to talk about it, in game one, they came back from a deficit three different times. They scored 6 runs in game one. This was an ugly offensive performance. And they can't get the hit with runners in scoring position. But you head to Kansas City, and you go with Clark Schmidt. And that was an interesting decision for the Yankees, as we'll prep for Clark Schmidt for a second. I actually think it's a good decision. The more I think about it, Clark Schmidt is a steady pitcher. And what we've seen from these first two guys, like, I can't have the blow-up, which is the possible for Luis Gil. I think Clark Schmidt, who's pitched to an ERA under 3 this year, I know he's going to give them a steady performance. This offense against Seth Lugo has got to show up. And we can get through the particulars and all the different guys who've struggled and maybe some thoughts on the lineup. I'm sure you all have them. But here's the bottom line. The Yankees are in a series. That's it. Now, we said this was the easiest path they had to a championship. It was never so easy they wouldn't lose a game. It was never so easy they wouldn't lose a game. They are tied 1-1 like every other series in this playoffs. And they head to Kansas City, where they've played better on the road this year than at home. I fully expect them to play better. Because here's the bottom line. if they don't hit and if Judge doesn't hit and the top of the order, who's had a rough go of it, even though Glaber had a great game one, you know, Juan Soto does nothing in this game. He's not going to draw the ire of the fans, but Juan Soto does nothing in this game. He gets a walk in the first inning and then two strikeouts and a fly ball. The top of the order has to do better. Judge has to do better. And I firmly believe they will. This team is too good to continue to do this. And if they continue to get 10, 11 guys on every game, they're going to drive in runs. Plain and simple. 888-808-1019. Let's actually get to a call here in the open before we take a break. Mike in Long Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
What's up?
Chris, I think you're one of the better overnight hosts. You're a refresh from listening to Sal rant and rave. However, I cannot let you just go unscathed with talking about Aaron Judge like this, bro. I got a challenge.
Sure.
He's 11 for his last 77. I'll give you 2017, 18, and 19. He looked like he was the man. 20, 21, 22, and 24, which is a substantial body of games, he has not done it. This guy is not only not hitting, he's not even getting on base, Chris.
Yeah.
He's 11 for 77 with eight or five home runs in that stretch and zero extra base hits. It's either a home run, single, strikeout, it's bad.
Right.
Instead of three true outcomes, he's marginally four. And how long can he go without being called to the carpet?
I just said his at bat in the first inning is the reason they lost. What do you want me to do?
But you,
like, I got to say he's awful and he'll never hit again? What do you want?
Well, the numbers have proven it. 77 games,
yeah,
77 at-bats.
No, 77, yeah, it's really last season, you know, the wild card game in Boston. It's this last series. It's the last season's postseason, no doubt. In a postseason where he had no one around him. He had no one around him. He had to carry that team down the stretch, and he was exhausted at the end of the year. He had a miserable postseason. I'm not making excuses for him.
19 years old, did a great job with the Nationals. Aaron Judge is a far more polished player.
Right.
And when the postseason comes, he shrinks. Juan Soto did not do great tonight. But I'm telling you right now.
I understand that.
You guys got Juan Soto as a complimentary piece to Judge. And yet when the playoffs come,
it's been two games with the two of them together. It's been two games. He got on base twice. He got on base twice in this game.
Shrinking. Sure. He had a much better game today than previously, but his body of work
over the last 2 years, no doubt. You want to go look at other guys? Go look at Willie Mays. Go look at what Mookie Betts is mired in right now. Like, this is part of it. He's got
a horrible, horrible stretch. It's the reason why the Dodgers are the Kings.
Right.
Of the,
so, I mean, I understand, and I'm calling him to the carpet. I said the first inning is why they lost the game. But what am I supposed to say?
Do you continue
batting?
Of course.
I don't
touch
him. You wouldn't
him in Wells.
Not at absolute. Well, I mean, maybe Wells, but no, not Judge. I'm not moving him at all. What are you, nuts? This is the best hitter on the planet.
Absolutely. I would slide him fourth only because
absolutely
Wells
not
could potentially get the RBI in front of him.
Oh, no, you're nuts. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You're nuts.
Aaron Judge looks outclassed by a Royals pitching staff.
Stop. Outclassed. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. I can't even, like, this is what bothers me. Because you have to go all in and just say the guy's freaking awful. Otherwise, you're not calling him to the carpet. I open the show saying, in my mind, even more than Rodon. Rodon is the easy scapegoat here. I'm going to get to all this stuff on the mound and everything, like, and how he looks like a fool now and all of that. Rodon is the easy scapegoat, giving up those four runs and peacocking it and getting embarrassed in the fourth inning. And as soon as the Yankees take a lead, they go out there and he gives it right back. He's the easy scapegoat. I could have come on here and blamed him if I was looking to give Aaron Judge a pass. Instead, I said Aaron Judge's at-bat in the first inning is the biggest moment of the game and why they lost. But that's not good enough. He's got to be the worst play. You got to move him in the lineup. You got to take him out of the first inning. Are you guys nuts? He's Aaron Judge. He's going through this is brand new. I know his postseason numbers of the past, he wilts. It's two games. It's two games. He got on base his last two times. Baseball's not easy. I'm not moving Aaron Judge. I'm not even thinking about it. Judge is hitting third. Torres, Soto, Judge. It's not even a thought. What do you want to do? Move him down in the lineup? You want to move him eight? Like Joe Torre did for Alex Rodriguez? You want to bench him? What are you guys, nuts? Like, I don't understand. I just, it absolutely boggles my mind, the overreaction. He's got to come through. There's no doubt. There's nothing else to do but trust your best players. What do you think? You think, what message does that send to a team? Think about this for a second. The New York Yankees are tied with the Kansas City Royals in an ALDS in a season they have to win the World Series. Right? In a season where they have to get to the World Series, bar none. What kind of, and this is a team right now that feels tight and needs to loosen up and come through with base hits in the clutch. What are you telling your team if you have such an outrageous panic move, like moving the best hitter on the planet out of the three spot? What are you telling your team? You know what you're telling your team? Oh, man, we're in trouble. Oh, man, we're in trouble. And I know the fan base thinks, especially with some of the comments, and we'll get to them, from Jazz Chisholm, that we're still going to win, we'll be fine, they got lucky, which is a ridiculous comment. That it's too much like, oh, yeah, they have no mind, they have no anger, they have no urgency, nobody's mad they lost. I understand that point. There is a fine line between creating some urgency and being upset and flat out panicking, like moving Aaron Judge. If Aaron Boone moves Aaron Judge, he's telling the entire team we're in trouble. And he's telling the entire team he's a moron. They look up to this guy like a god. Off of two games after arguably the greatest season a right-handed hitter has ever had, you're going to move him? If you honestly believe that that's what they should do, I'm sorry, I don't want to sound condescending because, my God, have I made mistakes and said dumb things. I honestly was all hyped up about Carlos Rodon. If you think they should move Aaron Judge, you don't understand baseball. And you don't understand how it works. Sorry. And I don't like to come off like a jerk and say those things. I respect your opinion. But that one, I can't. He's the greatest hitter on the planet. Six at bats. You want to do something you haven't done all year? You want to move him? Is Mookie Betts hitting sixth? You don't move your great players. You don't mess with it. You don't tell the whole team, we're in such dire straits, I have to move with Judge. Judge, a guy they look at as half man, half God. Judge is hitting third. 888-808-1019. All right, we got other things to get to. There are other parts of this game. The bullpen and the question mark of how much did they let the Kansas City Royals see this bullpen? Should Weaver have been brought into the game? The comments of Jazz Chisholm in the postgame about the Kansas City Royals getting lucky and what we can look forward to in game three with Clark Schmidt on the mound. 888-808-1019. Oh, yeah. And I'm also going to do something I never do. We're going to get into the broadcast because I can't. I can't go this whole show without commenting on this TBS broadcast in every aspect, from what I see to what I hear. I've never, ever in my life complained about a broadcast. Tonight will be the first. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, taking your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock right here on The Fan.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Boom. All right. 235. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. And I mean, I know I... I can sense the panic. Relax.
Yeah!
All right. Seriously, relax. It's one game. They have now split the series. The Yankees are going to win the series. They're going to Kansas City. It's they've played better on the road. And I've, you know, call me crazy. I don't think they're going to lose to the Royals. And I do think Judge is going to come through, and I think Soto's going to be big in this series, and I think they'll get the big hit, and things will lighten up, and they'll get a bunch of big hits. It might not be easy. You got Cole in Game 4, who I expect to be much better. I think really, at worst case, you're going to be heading back to Yankee Stadium for Game 5. And then the question will be who you start in Game 5. But the amount of panic off of losing one game, this is a series. Did you like? I know we talked about how is the easiest path, and it certainly is, because if you look back, you want to talk about trends, right? When the Yankees lose, when was the last time the Yankees lost to a clearly inferior team? When is the last time the Yankees lost to a team they were better than? Because if you look at their postseason, 17, they lose to the Houston Astros, go on to win the World Series. They lose to the Boston Red Sox, they go on to win the World Series. 19, they lose to the Houston Astros, they go on to win the World Series. 20, they lose to Tampa Bay. I said Boston, didn't I? No?
No, they lost the World Series to Washington.
Right, I'm sorry. 19, they went on to lose the World Series to Washington. Tampa Bay, the next year, went on to the World Series. 2020, I don't even know if you want to count. 21's the wild card game, they lose to Boston when Cole didn't have it. And then 2022, they lose to the Houston Astros, who go on to win the World Series. They have not lost to a team like the Kansas City Royals. They haven't. And that's why I talked about Game 1 being relatively positive for me. I still feel that way. They have gotten nothing from their starting pitching. They've gotten nothing from Judge. And the team really hasn't hit without runners in scoring position. And they're tied. And we all know going into the series, before the series started, if those things were going to happen, they're not going to win. We all know that. We all know that. They're going to have to do better. There's no reason to think they can't. All right? There's no reason to think they can't. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike in Tampa. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Chris. Great show. I agree with you. Leaving Judge in the three hole makes perfect sense. However, I was thinking, what do you think about maybe leaving him in the third hole, but maybe putting Soto in the four hole? I just feel like he doesn't have the protection with Wells. Wells had a good season, but down the stretch he got tired. I just feel like Soto would offer better protection, and Soto himself doesn't seem to need a lot of protection. He knows really how to work counts and get on base.
I know, I hear you. Well, first off, if that were to happen, one, I wouldn't do it. Not now. Because what the message it sends, I'm not moving Judge, I'm not moving Soto, I'm not moving that part of the lineup, just because it seems like such a panic move off of a 1-1 series against the Kansas City Royals. But if you were going to do that switch, it would not be 3-4, it would be 2-3. I would flop them. I wouldn't move. Who am I hitting two then? Who am I giving more at bats to Judge than Judge and Soto?
Maybe Chisholm?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely. No. I don't care. No, you got to get on base. His on-base percentage isn't good enough to justify giving him more at bats. You're telling me in the eighth inning, down a run, the lineup turns over. You got Torres getting on base, and then instead of Juan Soto or Judge coming up, here comes Jazz Chisholm, and you feel good about that? Like, I can't do it. I cannot do it. Those three hitters have got to hit in the first inning. They've got to be at the top of the order. 100%. There's no ifs, ways around it. I am not giving a starting pitcher the first inning to settle in without facing Soto and Judge. Absolutely not. It's a non-starter for me. Now, if you want to swap those two, there was talk of that in April when he was struggling during the course of the regular season, and thank you for the call. When he was struggling in April, there was some thought about moving Soto to protect him. But again, with Wells as his cleanup hitter, or whoever as the cleanup hitter, he just had arguably the greatest season a right-handed hitter has ever had. And he did it during a time in baseball where the rest of the league struggles offensively almost like we've never seen. This is the hardest time, arguably, in the history of baseball. I mean, other than the dead ball era, you know, 100 years ago, 120 years ago, to ever to be an offensive player in this league, and he's doing it better than anyone ever has. So, no, I don't think he needs anything. He needs to get his timing off of a long stretch of not playing. It's not an excuse. It's just what it is. And he needs to come through. It's been two games, and they won one of them. Like, everybody needs to chill on Judge. There's concern. I think his at-bat in the first inning was the most important at-bat of the game, and in my mind, one of the chief reasons they lost this game was that he couldn't keep the momentum going off of that first inning. Then you get to Carlos Rodon and the disaster that he was in the fourth, which is very frustrating because, like, he comes through in that third inning where he had that first test in the third inning where he gives up the base hit to Hampson and then the ball off of his hand from Garcia. And in walks Bobby Witt Jr., who, by the way, I wonder, do you think the Royals should move him? Where should the Royals hit Bobby Witt Jr.? He hasn't gotten a hit this entire series. Where should they move him? Maybe fourth or fifth? Maybe sixth? I mean, Gurriel's been killing the Yankees. You could move him up to two, Perez up to three. Pascantino, again, he's been bad too. You move Massey up, you move Perez up, you move Gurriel up, you move Witt and Pascantino, who combined for 200 RBIs this season and have been their two best players, haven't really done much this series. Both in this game, Witt 0 for 5 in this game and Pascantino 0 for 4. So you got to move them down in the lineup, clearly. You move Massey up. You move Pham. Pham got a big hit in this game. You probably hit Pham second behind Garcia at four hits in this game. So you go Garcia, Pham, get Witt the hell out of there. Get Pascantino the hell out of there. Maybe Perez 3, Gurriel 4, Massey 5. Hampson, who had 3 hits in this game, 6. And then you go Witt 7, Pascantino 8. And then whatever you want to do after that. Melendez, who hit the home run yesterday, maybe put him back in there and hit him 9th. That's probably what I would do if I was Kansas City. That's probably what I would do. I mean, I think you have to. He hasn't gotten hit in all series. Pascantino looked awful. I mean, he did hit a hard line drive to right field in this game, but, I mean, I definitely think those changes need to happen for the Royals. But anyway, in that third inning, Rodon has two on, one out, and Bobby Witt Jr. coming up. And I thought, here we go. This is the first test for him with things aren't going well. Plus, there was that hardliner right in his glove and knocked his glove off, had an opportunity to make that catch and probably get a double play. And he passed. He gets the ground ball to third from Witt, and then he gets the line drive from Pascantino. And you felt like, okay, that's the first real, you know, time where adversity hit, and he made it through. And then he couldn't get out of the fourth. Just, he hangs the breaking ball to Perez, which I still didn't see the clean replay because I got the background view. I don't know why people are fascinated. Baseball broadcasts are sometimes fascinated with these other looks, like stop. No one cares. It's not fascinating. It's not unique. I can't see the game. Gurriel, who's killed the Yankees, and then, you know, he hangs a breaking ball to Pham, and I thought he should have absolutely thrown a fastball, and then Hampson gets him too. Like, just, and then I thought Verdugo makes a terrible play throwing home, all the way home, over the cutoff man's head, allowing Garcia to get the second base, or allowing Hampson to get the second base, rather, and he scores on the Garcia hit. It's just a frustrating inning. And an inning, we talk about it all the time, especially when we get to the Mets and how important it's been for them. They get those bounce-back innings. When you score a run, it's imperative you put up a zero. And if you're the opposition, you don't want to let that deficit linger. And the Mets have done a great job at that of coming back and scoring right after. And the Yankees did that yesterday, or in game one, rather. Yesterday, they were terrible. and some tough at bats where I thought they hit some, you know, Gleyber Torres hit the line drive to third in a big situation, right at the third baseman. Twice, Birdie hits he pulls the ball hard to left field, right at the left fielder. He hits a bullet to right field, right at the right fielder. Volpe hits a hard fly ball to right field. That's after a long at bat. Like, I didn't think this team was lifeless. I didn't think this team was dead. I just think this team, when the runners are on, they are tight as a drum. They have got to figure out a way to get that one big hit that's going to put them over the line, and just end this. Because right now you can feel it. It's in their head. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They can get guys on. They cannot get them in. And it's led by their captain. Judge has been terrible in both first. They end up winning game one, so you can't get too upset about it. But in this game, that first inning at bat is a killer. It's just a killer. He swings at a changeup. He swings at a cutter in, and then assuming he was going to go soft again, he gets a fastball right down the middle, and it blows him away. That at bat changed the complexity of that entire game. The momentum of that first inning from Rodon, followed up by the two walks, first and second, with an opportunity to really touch up their guy, which would have sent a devastating blow to the Royals. Like, yeah, they worked his pitch count, which I think is positive. They get him out in the fourth inning, clearly positive. It's only positive if he actually hit the bullpen. But it's devastating. They give up 3-4 runs in that first inning with their guy. That's a death blow in a series, in a 5-game set where they're down 1-0. That's an opportunity to go win this series in that at bat. Now, listen, I understand Wells and Giancarlo have an opportunity to do the same thing and didn't, but it's on Judge, man. That at bat is on Judge. Val in the Bronx, what's up, Val?
Brother Mac, how you doing this morning, Dunn?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I gathered. I'm all right. I was gonna say not too good, but okay. And I figure we kind of feeling the same way. I got a few things I want to talk about tonight's game,
mm-hmm.
or last night's game. But you know, three things really quickly. The first one. Yeah, I'm with everybody with that Jazz thing, but for different reasons. I'm with you because I feel like it's bulletin board material, but I don't think that it really impacts the game as far as the players are concerned. The thing I don't like about it is the fact that we're about to go on the road, and that kind of stuff feeds to the fans. And assuming that we're about to get into a hostile environment, the last thing you want to do is give them extra stuff to put up on their signs and, you know, oh, yeah, we're the lucky team and all this kind of stuff like that. Because you can imagine that's what you're going to see out in the stands in the stadium when the next game comes around.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I don't like about it. But assuming that they do what they got to do, none of that matters. The next thing I want to get into, this whole stuff with the Judge stuff and even the stuff with giving up on the team, I don't know where that's coming from, and you're perfectly correct. People, I don't want to sound like this, you know, nonchalant, like, you know, because I've been seeing the urgency from the team, unlike what most people seem to be saying. But I just don't like the whole give up side of it. I mean, to your point, like you said, they've been doing things. And Judge, even listening to the post game, what I heard from him when he was talking to Susan and even to the rest of the media when after the game, as far as his post game comments, there's a recognition of what's going on. Sooner or later, either him or the team, they need to have like a big blowout game or a big blowout inning where they put some crooked numbers up. And that'll let people relax because you're perfectly correct. That first inning, he started it, but I think they also continued it too because for the first three innings, we had runners on scoring position, every single one of them.
Yeah, and you're right, Val. I'm with you. They need that one big hit. They need that one big hit. It starts to become a self-fulfilling prophecy where they, you know, it's. But you're right. They have runners in scoring position in every inning. They can't come through with the hit. Let's play the Chisholm comments real quick, and let's get to what Chisholm had to say after the game because I do have a problem with it, but not for necessarily the reason that Val just said. But here's what Jazz Chisholm had to say after the game.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it. You know, I don't feel like anybody feels any different. You know, we're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. We had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
Yeah, I have zero problem with the start of that because he's asked, now that you've, you know, the series is tied, how does it feel? It still feels like we're going to win. And we don't think there's any team that's better than us. I don't have a problem with that. I think every team sort of feels that way. If you ask the Kansas City Royals, they think they're the best team. You know, that's how it goes. I have no problem with that. The clear problem is to then take it the step further and say they just got lucky. And here's my problem with it. Now, Jazz has been a little bit like this. If you remember both celebrations, whether it was in Seattle when they clinched the playoff spot or whether it was at home when they finally clinched the division, he doesn't guarantee necessarily, but both times in the celebration talking to the media, he talked about how we're going to win the World Series. And now he said that the Royals got lucky. I don't have a problem with bulletin board material. The Kansas City Royals are in the ALDS. There's nothing that... I find this always funny. Like, I understand Michael Jordan would manufacture things. We all watched that when we were all home in COVID, and with COVID, and we watched that documentary. And some great players use stuff as motivation. But I also think the key to the Michael Jordan thing is that even when it's not there, he makes it up. So the idea that they're going to somehow make the Kansas City Royals want to win more or try harder or get pissed off, I never believe it. It's absolute garbage. Kansas City wants to win and play hard no matter what. Nor do I care about the fans or the atmosphere. It's the internal pressure it puts on himself. Now, he does hit the home run in the ninth inning. Hopefully he can do more of that because they need him to be part of this. Let's be honest. They need him to be part of this. They need Wells to be part of this. They need Gleyber to be part of this. They need Volpe to start hitting. They need everybody. But it's the internal pressure and the questions he's going to be asked about it now, and that the team is going to be asked about it now. And now they got to talk about, oh, do you really think lucky? You know, blah, 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 blah. Like, and now it's a story that now is in their minds. And he knows that if he doesn't go out there and make it stick by playing well, then he's going to have to live this down. Like, I don't want any more pressure on this team. And that puts pressure on them. I don't care how it makes Kansas City feel. I certainly don't care how it makes the fans of Kansas City feel. It's about what it does inside that locker room, how many questions they have to ask about it, and how much internal pressure now it puts on him specifically and them as a team that, oh, okay, yo, they got lucky. Like, that I don't like. And it's just a bad look. It's a dumb thing to say. They didn't get lucky. You didn't do anything. The Yankees lost this game. Plain and simple. The Yankees lost this game. Kansas City beat them. Kansas City put together hits in that inning, scored 4 runs, and the Yankees couldn't do that. It wasn't the umpiring. There was a couple of Adam balls. I agree with him at that. Like, I thought there was 4 or 5 where if those balls are 5 to 10 feet a little bit more left or a little bit more right, this game's completely different. But that's not what happened. And that's baseball, Susan. But those comments, I don't like. Now he's been on the record saying we're going to win the World Series, and now the other team, when we lose, the other team is lucky. It's just a bad look. It's just a bad look. Vinny in South Plainfield. What's up, Vinny?
How you doing?
I'm doing well, Vinny.
I just want to ask a question about Boone. If the Yankees lose this series, mm-hmm. Do you think this is the last year? Is it?
I think there's a very good chance it is, yes. I think there's a very good chance it is. I think I don't think they want to fire Cashman at all. I honestly don't. I think the owner loves him. I think the owner trusts him, and they did win a division and have the 1 overall seed and put together a roster that, you know, had the best team in the American League. I think they view it as such. I think they view it as the playoffs are a little bit of a crapshoot. I don't know how you build the perfect playoff team. I don't think there is a way to build the perfect playoff team. I honestly don't. I think all you kind of can do is build a team that's going to win you the division, get you into the dance, and hopefully it plays well. Like, I kind of believe that on some level. Now, could you always do more and make the team as good as it possibly can be? But the owner also knows he's the one putting the financial constraints on him in some way. So, like, I think Brian Cashman having the best record in the American League probably saves him. But I think you could argue. Right. I think there's a very good chance, considering you don't even have to fire him. All you have to do is just not give him a new contract. Or not pick up his option. I think there's a chance that Boone does not make it through this series if they lose. But having said that, I do believe he's had a very good series. I think so far, he's done a good job in this series.
Do you think Bernie did get the hit in that last inning, but do you really think that was I mean, we had all these guys on the bench. He didn't pull a single bench piece off in any sort of matchup. Is Purdy really the person? I know he got a hit, but
yes, I had not
say that afterwards. But is that really the person you want up instead of whoever else? I mean, Dominguez, whoever else is on the bench
in that spot? Yes, at the end of the game.
Really.
Yeah, no, in the ninth inning, No, absolutely, in the ninth inning, in that set of circumstance, yes, it is. If there was a runner on, I'm looking for a home run, absolutely, I pinch hit him. Absolutely. But now, just for a base hit, just to get on, I'm going to pinch hit a guy who's been ice cold, and when his last two at-bats, Birdie hit a screaming line drive in the fourth to left field, and hit a screaming line drive to right in the seventh, in the fourth field, I'm losing my mind. In the fourth inning, he hits a screaming line drive to left. In the seventh inning, he hits a screaming line drive to right. And if I needed a home run, if Verdugo gets on in front of him, if they're the tying run, then yes, I bring up someone, either Ben Rice or Dominguez, who gives me a chance to hit a home run. But in that spot, no, I don't have a problem with letting Birdie hit.
Verdugo was on base when he was up. No?
No. Chisholm hit the home run, and Volpe... Birdie's the one who got on. Torres was the tying run when he came up. Volpe grounded out to short. Right. Verdugo grounded out to third, which I thought was a terrible at bat. There's a couple of terrible at bats in this game. I think in the ninth inning, Verdugo has a 2-0 count, and he's got Urchik a little bit on the ropes, and he swings at an outside. It might have been off the plate, 2-0 fastball, and hits a soft little line, soft little ground ball to third. And then Gleyber Torres, after the base hit from Birdie, swings at the first pitch and hits a soft ground ball to short. But no, I have no problem not pinch hitting Birdie there. Now look, the idea that they've decided to go with six bench pieces and none of them get used, I understand that. It looks on the surface like, well, why the hell did you want to have a six-man bench if you're not going to use anybody? I don't know if in this game they're screamed for. It's not like Stanton got on late and there's a clear pinch running situation, or like if you have an opportunity to tie the game and you need a home run, okay, you'll pinch hit for Birdie. You might even pinch hit for Volpe if you have an opportunity to go for a home run. But I didn't see any situation that screamed to me that you need the bench piece. And starting Birdie, I'm sorry, how could you argue it right now? How could you argue it? The guy was the best defender on the field. He made two great plays at first. None of them happened to be for outs. It happened to save errors or save base runners getting even further along. And then he makes the great, he makes two great scoops that don't result in outs. Then he makes the great diving play on the line drive for the double play. Like, he was their best defender in this game. Everyone, oh my God, the first start ever at first base. He was literally the best defender on the field. And he hit the ball hard three times, and he brings you speed. Like, there's a lot of people to yell at and be mad at. Aaron Boone is not one. Aaron Boone has done a great job. Every single decision he's made has been the right one, other than, you can argue, bringing in the infield. Bringing in the infield the other day in game one, I think you could argue was a mistake. And I suppose you could argue not letting Cole go out to start the sixth. But the lineup decisions have all been the right ones. 888-808-1009. 1 hour down. Two more to go. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock in the Warm Show right here on The Fan.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.